Grease fire! Grease fire!
Alf's cooking up storm.
Medium rare. Hold the lightning.
It's serving up last.
Let's see.
Alf lands in 2 days.
You are. I'm Ben Baker.
And I'm John Matthews.
And this is Alfsplaining, a not especially serious podcast about exploring our mutual fascination at the American sitcom Alf, which ran between September 1986 and April 1990 in America, and God knows over here in the UK. Sometime.
There we go.
So this is a British sort of look at the Alf sitcom experience and all the things that sort of come with it. Because I'm fairly sure there isn't one, but it's been screaming out for it. Can you hear that scream now?
I'll dub it in afterwards.
Alf. Yeah, that'll do. That'll do. Yeah. We're going to be talking about the very first episode of Alf. Now, what do you think, John?
Yes?
That episode is called...
Is it called Alf the Pilot?
It's just Alf. It's just Alf.
Oh, fair
it's just
enough.
Alf.
Fair
there
enough.
Is a pilot which is slightly different.
Now, yes, have you seen that?
Because I have. Yes,
I couldn't and track I that down.
I didn't think there was much more game. There's basically less Alf.
Ah, right.
As far as I could gather, but it's basically the same. So we figured we'd just go with episode one, which is out there on YouTube. People can watch that. And we thought this would be fun to sort of watch along with us. I don't know if all the episodes are, but I'm sure they are available somewhere.
Available in inverted commas, ladies and gentlemen.
I refuse to believe that they're ladies or gentlemen. But basically we've looked at all those other show-by-show retrospectives and thought, let's have some of that pie, even though we have no sort of... connections to the program Alf.
No, that's true. Yes, that's true.
Or relatives involved. So that if there was a competition about Alf, and you know where it said like relatives of people involved with Alf couldn't join in,
we'd be fine. We'd absolutely be all right. Fine. Yeah.
So episode one.
There it is.
Alf, directed by Tom Patchett, written by Tom Patchett.
Oh,
it was aired in September 22nd, 1986 in America and got 15.6 million viewers. I mean, it was the 24th most watched thing of that week, apparently, which, again, is insane.
What a time to be alive, really. What a time to be alive.
So, for those who don't know the basic premise, if you will, Gordon Shumway, a Melmacian, has escaped his planet Melmac before it was destroyed and has crash-landed into the garage of the Tanner family. That's it. That's the premise, generally.
It's a great premise. You can set it up very simply in a sentence or two, and that is always a sign of a great premise.
Yep, there is. So I love how this episode starts with Willie doing a little bit of voiceover.
Yes, I thought that was very unusual, in fact. It is that sort of cold opening where he goes, yeah. That extraordinary night. The night.
He came.
And it either sounds threatening like that, or it sounds a little bit, you know, sexual.
So Willie, the head of the Tanner family, heads out of the house for a short stroll to the end of the garden to his shed, which, because it's America, is the size of a small aircraft hangar.
Can I talk to you for a minute?
Sure.
Oh,
darn!
You all right?
Yeah, I guess the CB must have crossed circuits with a short wave.
You know, it's not easy being a 16-year-old.
I know I'm immature sometimes, but, you know, you put so much...
I was talking about Lynn.
Lynn, right. Was there a problem there?
She thinks you hate her boyfriend.
Such a bright girl.
This is the thing about Americans, though. What they consider to be small houses are often massive open-plan things. And so the shed in which the ham radio exists is this huge outbuilding that, you know, you could easily live in.
But yeah, as you say, he's got this kind of CB radio ham setup, and also he's got his, what do you call it? He's got his star-looking machine Telescope. That's the word. That's the word.
Get out. Star-looking machine. It started badly, and it can only get worse as we get older.
Yeah, no, I hope so.
But this is the thing. So the episode starts with them all running out to the garden because everybody's excited to use the ham radio. Now, I don't remember ham radio as being the big thing back in the mid-80s. I mean,
Well, did see the daughter of the family wants to talk to a friend on the CB radio and talk about her new boyfriend.
Yes.
Who is apparently called Lash. but more on that later on. Maybe it's just the internet of its time. Maybe, you know, unlike us, who obviously had to, you know, Paramount Mailbox to on teletext the like, and obviously giving too much information away in sort of for pen pal columns. You know, I guess that's what America, that's what they used. It's
ham radio. Well, you extrapolate what you think America is from what you see on the TV. So, you know, obviously in the 80s, I thought everybody was driving around in Pontiac Firebirds that could talk, and it was sunny all the time, and everybody was using ham radios. So,
yeah, it's we have maybe 3 or 4 minutes without Alf.
Yes.
And I think it shows rather comprehensively how boring it would be.
This is the fascinating thing about it. It's very thin on laughs. Whereas it's Brian, the son, the youngest son of the family, gets most of the laughs just by saying stupid observations like the he's looking at the neighbours through the telescope, the sky watching machine, and he says they're watching body heat.
Boop, boop, boop. I'm pressing the buzzer because that is, for me, the most impenetrable dated pop culture reference of the week. Mm. That is something we'll be having every week on this show. And I felt body heat.
It is. Do you know what? I disputed that. My pop culture reference of the week comes up later, but possibly because it's so impenetrable, it didn't even register as a pop culture reference.
It's just a sexy film, one of them sexy, sweaty films from the 80s.
Sweaty films in the 80s.
Sweaty films that Alf would obviously be all over. we get this weird thing where there's sort of some random buttons are pressed accidentally at, like, wires like ooh and stuff, and it's like that's clearly enough of a signal into space.
Yes,
for an Alf to appear.
So this is why they have a ham radio, so that Alf can communicate back to them almost, and they can find out that there is a spaceship heading for their garage. They run around in panic. They don't seem to run very far, and in fact, they seem to run back into the path of the crashing spaceship at some point. But it's difficult to tell because they put some 80s effects over it.
It's a little bit pantomime, I grant you.
It is a bit. There's lots of flashing lights, and then there we are. There he is, Alf, dead in a bubble, as far as we can see.
And then it ends.
And then it ends. The end.
I can't control it. It's locked in on the signal.
Willie, what's that?
Oh my gosh, it can't be.
The lights! What happened to the lights?
Daddy, what's that thing in the sky?
What's going on?
It's closing in fast. I think maybe we better...
It's like, oh, I think we've got a visitor. And it's like, how do you know?
Exactly. It just looks like a coat, doesn't it? It's like somebody's chucked a coat over the roof.
Not unreasonably.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought if that happened to me, I wouldn't have thought we had a visitor. I'd have thought a garbage truck had crashed or something.
I would say a haberdasher's has had some sort of spill.
It's been a gas explosion at the haberdasher's.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of my favourite
Half Man Half Biscuit songs.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it's like there's seven themes in film. That's what I've
gas
explosion at the haberdasher's. Yeah. So it's very dramatic.
Oh,
it's very dramatic, all this, because there's a crash and it's like, oh my god. And then, of course, straight into the title sequence, which has many people should know by now, is a jazz odyssey.
Oh my god. The music is terrible. It's truly terrible music.
Excuse me.
What?
It's a work of absolute joy.
Well, you say
is what
that.
You meant to say.
Yeah, who's the professional musician here? Oh, who's the semi-professional musician here?
Still Alf.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Right, no. Alf in Germany got to probably number one many times. I don't know. I can't remember the day. So, we see Alf running around. It's a very smart idea for a title sequence, actually, with Alf running around using a massive video camera as befitting the time.
There's two problems with this title sequence. As you've said, you see Alf running around. Now, I don't like it when Alf runs around. A little person in an Alf suit.
And there's a lot of that in this episode. I feel almost to sort of give you the sort of height, sort of, you know, give you some sort of spatial awareness of Alf.
The movements are all wrong, though. It looks like a child running around or something. And so Alf's natural charisma, his bounce, his sort of his snappy flow, as it were, it's not there. Yeah. It's all wrong. It's a bit uncanny valley, if you can imagine such a thing for an alien.
But you also don't get much of him.
No.
It's because he's behind the camera. So you get a little snippet in the in the mirror, but then he's basically peeping on the family, literally peeping.
Oh yeah, Kate in the shower, Lynn in the cupboard.
Yeah, and then he's trying to snaffle a bit of food and bother the cat. You know, so we only really see flashes.
This is the other problem with the opening titles is that when we're in the kitchen snaffling a bit of food, you can actually see the studio lights to the side.
Can you? I never even noticed that.
Yeah, when you're with Brian and he's there with his kid. Baker Boy's cap or whatever.
Yeah, his Newsies cap.
Yeah, you can see all the studio lights just sort of flashing in at the side of the screen because Alf's flailing around with this massive camcorder.
And then, of course, they come together for a family photo because Alf is part of the family, not yet in the episode, but in general. Yeah. And then again, we get a midget in a suit.
You can't say that.
All right. What's the right word?
An elf.
Sized human.
An elf-sized human, yeah. Yeah. Oh, that sounds fair, yeah.
Poddling.
Yeah.
Clearly not been able to see very well out of the mask.
No. His face is always pointing the wrong direction because he's trying to look through the teeth or something, isn't he? But you're right. Assuming I hadn't actually considered the fact that this sitcom, Alf, about Alf, doesn't really have Alf in the titles much at all.
No, although that does bring us to one of the big points of this episode, and indeed the series in general. It's like very early on, they bring Alf into the house. And Willie says, it's an Alf, an alien life form.
Yeah, nobody's ever said that before.
But later on, he does say he is called Gordon.
This is a big, big point. This is almost the main point of the whole Alf thing. He's called Gordon Shumway. That is not a difficult name for humans to say. It's not like it's some crazy sound or you've got to contort your mouth into various ways to say his real name. It's Gordon Shumway. It's very easy to say. This would be like us going to a foreign planet and everybody calling us E.T., despite the fact our names are perfectly...
Yeah, to us, acceptable. They're absolutely reasonable. Yeah.
Imagine that, going around on an alien planet and going, hey, look, it's E.T. You'd be quite offended by that, wouldn't you?
Because that's nearly always the joke. It's like, oh, what's your name? Oh, it's been... But you can call me Steve.
Exactly.
But no, he says, my name is Gordon. He goes, oh, Alf. He's got Gordon. Yeah, Alf.
Yes, all right, Alf. Yeah, whatever. There would have been such an easy way around it. Willie could have said, "Oh, you're an ALF, you're an alien life form," and Gordon could have said, "Oh, I like that nickname. I'll adopt it."
Yeah. Oh, I'm undercover.
Yeah, yeah. A throwaway gag like that
because he is an alien.
He is an alien.
Yeah, you know, on our planet. Yeah, and it's indeed his alienness does mean the reference ET to a point. And straight away, the family have the thing. So as you said, we've got Willie, who's the breadwinner of the house, very much the standard middle-aged, boring man.
the sort of man who would put his suit and tie on to go and use the ham radio in the garden.
Exactly. His lovely grey, but what would you say? What would you call his jacket?
A blouson?
Sport coat. But yeah, no, that. More than reasonable in that respect. And, of course, he's got a far too attractive wife called Kate.
This is the absolute classic tropes of 80s sitcoms so far. The eldest daughter.
Who's the obsessed with boys?
Yeah, obsessed with boys.
Boys, yes, he is.
And a young son, I don't know, what, 9, 10, something like that? To give Alf somebody on his eye line, really.
Yeah, pretty much. And of course, they all have different things. Obviously, the kids want to keep him. Willie wants to help him. Kate just wants him to polish straight away. Down the nick.
Can I stay in my room?
No. No, this thing is not staying in anyone's room. It's not staying.
Why not? E.T. got to stay.
E.T. was a movie. This is real. This is on our coffee table.
This is incredible. Truly amazing. After all those years of wondering and hoping that it might be possible to contact alien life, to have this happen, it's a miracle. It's the fulfillment of a lifelong dream.
We've got to get rid of it.
Absolutely.
The other thing is, they all seem very calm to say an alien has just crashed into their house. They sort of carry it in and say, oh, can we keep it, Dad? And you know, you'd be questioning your own mortality a bit more than this and your place in the universe if an alien had actually crashed into your house.
I mean, I would say, on average, you know, you take the media about aliens where it ends well and, and the opposite. And I would say very much the ends well side is a lot lighter when it comes to examples.
Yes, it's not a very light-hearted thing to have an alien in your house.
So, yeah, it's just, there's this thing about Alf, like, obviously, as a commodity, as a thing. He's just a thing, and then he speaks.
How about fixing my spaceship? Hello, read my lips.
It talks.
It's heavy, it's hairy, and it talks.
Good. Now, how about fixing my spaceship so I can get my heavy, hairy body out of here?
And it's a slightly deeper voiced Alf than we get used to it in later series. A little bit gruff.
He's a lot more Rodney Dangerfield.
Yes. Yes, he is a bit.
He's a lot more... Hey, he's a very borscht belt comedian, effectively. He's like going like, hey, what is a joke about this thing? You know, a man went into a bar. Ooh, it was an iron bar. He's like...
one thing we should do with this podcast is learn how to do an impression of Alf, because I can't really do an impression of Alf, but at some point we're going to have to start sort of copying him. And it's a very difficult thing. It's a bit like Homer Simpson. It's quite a difficult voice to copy.
Hey. Yeah, it is. It's the back of the throat. It's the same as Homer Simpson. It's the back of the throat. Hey, Willie, hey, can he just get... No, I can't, I cannot. I've never been able to do it.
Willie's easier because he's sort of nasal and he talks to Alf like, Alf, I can't believe you've eaten the cat again.
That kind of business. So we can do Willie. We can do Willie, that's fine.
Oh, we can do Willie for days.
We can do Willie all the live long day, listeners.
It's true. But again, Alf, also, as a look, he's more dishevelled. He's more than he used to, sort of this like quite sleek fur. He's got kind of fur all over the place.
He has just crashed into a garage.
He has, but I assume he's still like that later on, and I'm assuming they've let him have, you know, a bath and that.
Oh, yeah.
Bizarre, because it's basically, they're bringing Alf in, and he's like, oh, we'll sleep on it, and we'll think about it in the morning. And then they do sleep. Well, it's like, how would you sleep?
Exactly. Yes. You'd be up all night shrieking, really, wouldn't you? I mean, I would. I mean, I'm up all night shrieking most nights anyway, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just age for me. Yeah, and he wakes up. Kate wakes up.
And Alf's in the bed with her.
And it's like, ooh, all right. And she's like, what? Not unreasonable. Yeah. I would say, for all these scenes, and this, I'm going to use a similarly aged pop culture reference here, you replace Alf with Gilbert the Alien, the snotty, green, slimy alien from Get Fresh and Gilbert's Fridge. And instantly you'd be like, oh, whoa, no. But because it's Alf, we go, ah, it's just Jesus Alf.
Yeah.
It's just Alf,
sexless
mate.
Sexless freak. Just,
it's really...
Morning.
Willie!
What's going on out there?
Nothing. Just screaming.
Move out of the way.
No problem.
You must understand that Kate is very nervous about this whole thing.
Absolutely. Who's Kate?
My wife.
Oh, yeah. She snores.
She doesn't snore.
You calling me a liar?
Just keep your distance, all right?
There's all these scenes of the full Alf going to show the height, and he's about, what would you say, about sort of...
I don't know.
2.5 feet? 3 foot?
It's about the height of this table here, but I don't know why this table is.
Well, that is fair. And we are doing a table splaining next week, unfortunately. So we can't help you there. But yeah, we go, it's the morning. So what are we doing in the morning? Straight into Alf? No, we've got to have a shower and stuff. We've got...
Oh, yeah.
We've got to have his ablutions.
We've got to stay clean. If the most incredible thing to ever happen in human history has happened, we must have a wash and shave first.
And I'll tell you, who is interested? in the washing of the shower. Alf.
Alf.
Alf is very interested in Willy in the shower.
Mrs.
Mrs. Yeah. Mrs. Willy in the shower also. There's lots of... it's not crude. Because it could go crude. It's like, oh, I've got one of them, but it's bigger. That's
a, you know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a lovely line in that. They've set up Willy and Alf's relationship quite well. In the previous scene where Alf says, you should put a light out there on the drive when the ship's crashing. And Willy just sort of gets distracted and he goes, oh, yeah, you know, I've been meaning to do that, before he realises he's just having a general conversation with an alien and he blinks back into normality again. And then in the bathroom sequence, Alf's looking up longingly at Willy and he says, you're my idol. And it's a lovely line, performed beautifully. It's just very funny, and it just gets across Alf's personality in three words fantastically well.
Do you mind?
Never saw a thing.
And stay away from the window. We've got a very nosy neighbor, Mrs. Achmanek.
Achmanek? Sounds like a typo.
Just don't let her see you. She might turn you in.
Yeah. Because, I mean, Alf at this point, he don't want to stay. He wants his ship fixed and he wants out. You know, out of there. And he's sort of more gruff, but then almost instantly goes, fine, I'll stop. There's no real reason. I mean, Willy tries to fix his ship and cannot.
Well, why would he?
Exactly.
Why would he be able to?
So basically we have Alf sort of like, oh, I'll just assimilate myself into the life and sort of get things slightly hilariously wrong in that kind of funny foreigner way that, you know, like, again, a big trope of the 80s sitcom.
Well, yeah, I mean, Alf, he's basically just dicking around doing what he wants at the minute.
Yeah.
It's all a novelty. He's just doing various bits of random business.
Yeah.
And it's all funny.
I mean, like, can we have a drink? Yeah, but you can't have any pop, so him and the 9-year-old come back with beer.
But, yeah. There's a point at this point where they're all calling him Alf and he's not complaining or correcting
them at all. No, this is fair. This is very,
He's settled into his nickname quite happily.
Mm, and the house. Because we know he's going to stay there, obviously, because there wouldn't be a sitcom. Can you imagine if it was just a regular sitcom and one episode happened to have Alf in it and then never again?
Extraordinary, wouldn't it? A lovely setup, and then the rest of it was the most bland thing you've ever watched in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, very much of the time sort of American sitcom. A man in an army outfit turns up.
Who apparently was different in the unaired pilot. This is the one bit they've changed from my own extensive research into this topic. The unaired pilot had a different actor performing the army man who just turns up. Oh, it's the neighbours have alerted him, haven't they?
Yes.
He's not just randomly turned up the house. The neighbours, the Achmanics, who we'll hear a lot more from later.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an elf, yeah. Yeah, no, it's at neighbour's house, yeah, yeah. I don't know, very furry. Just bring one bloke, it'll probably be fine. And if they say they don't have an elf, just leave. Don't continue.
Even if they're very unconvincing, and it looks like they've got something to hide, and they keep asking you shifty questions, don't follow up on any of these. Just leave.
And looking back at someone every time, sort of, you say, what will you do if you capture this alien? And they say... You know, you say something horrible to them.
Mind if I come in?
Yes, I do.
Fine with me. Mrs. Tanner, we've received an anonymous tip that you might be harboring a space creature.
Oh, a space creature?
Yes. Hairy, about 3 feet tall.
Is he considered dangerous?
Hard to tell until we get in the lab.
Uh-huh. And, what would you do with him if you did get him, you know, in the lab?
Oh, the usual battery of tests. We'll see how it responds to intense heat, freezing cold, high voltage, toxic substances, pain, sleep deprivation, inoculation. That's needles. And, of course, dissection.
Why don't you just pull its toenails out?
You didn't let me finish.
There was a couple of lines during this scene. When the doorbell rang, that the kid Brian went... Oh no, who could that be? Which is not the sort of thing young kids shout every time there's a doorbell rings.
No, I think that kid he's got a head of anxieties. He's like, oh no. But then guests, that's how I get.
Alf says, at that point, he says, the doorbell rings and he goes, we gave it the office, which is a lovely throwaway phrase. And Alf carries it off extremely well. It's the sort of thing Alf just saying random everyday phrases in inappropriate situations is extremely funny as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, because again, like, I feel Alf works in a way a lot of alien characters don't work, because, like, oh, the ones that pick things up from the TV and that sort of thing, and it's always really painful. Oh, what's up, Doc? Yeah, we get it. But Alf's actually quite funny.
He also seems to be slightly aware he's in a sitcom as well, because when he keeps glancing at the camera every time the army man says something terrifying to him, he looks at the camera and grits his teeth and goes, ugh.
Yeah.
So I have my suspicions that Alf does know he's in a sitcom.
Yeah. Then it's just kind of like, oh, I guess Alf lives here now. And so it's just like, whatever. And then it cuts to another scene where Alf sneaks into Willie's shed to use his broadcast equipment to see if there's any lost Melmacians there. And suddenly, someone smashes the pathos button.
Melmac touch. Hello. Anybody there? Yo. Calling anybody from Melmac. Hello. Skip. Larry. Muffy. It's Gordon. Look, I don't know if you can hear me, but I just wanted to let you know I'm okay.
It's this lovely, beautiful, sad music, Alf looking all sad, and the emotions are welling up, and you think, oh, it's a normal sitcom again. And then he ends it by saying, they're lovely people, and then we can eat their cat. And there's a big laugh, and it all ends.
Very much so. So, not a lot happens, just Alf turns up. And indeed, I suspect a lot of the episodes will be Alf is there as a premise.
Alf is in the house.
Not Alf, but not like in the house. Well, it might be.
In the house.
You said you had a different pop culture reference.
No, it was only Mrs. Opmonic saying there's a raccoon in the next door neighbour's bathroom or something, and Mr. Ockmonic goes, yeah, right, and I'm Sean Penn. That a human being wouldn't say it.
They're basically that family that lives next to every family in a thing, like George and Mildred sort of thing, or the big heads in Rocco's Modern Life. You always have that kind of slightly rougher family who hate each other, or a couple who hate each other.
What it would have been like had it the sitcom been the Ockmonics, and every so often you'd see the next door neighbours and they're alien.
Well, that brings me to the MVP of the episode.
Right.
Melmac's very perfection. The MVP. Alf is great. I'm tempted to give it to Trevor Ockmonic for that joke. He's on screen for 30 seconds and he has two banger jokes. And I think, actually, for time spent on screen...
value for money, yes. I completely agree. He's the only human who seems more three-dimensional than Alf does, really. Or as three-dimensional as Alf. The rest of them are all like cardboard cutouts in Paddington. But it's like when Trevor appears, he's also in 3D.
Trevor, is there such a thing as a cross between a kangaroo and an aardvark?
Stop putting yourself down.
I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about that thing staring at me from the bathroom window.
What? I don't see nothing.
Well, it was there a second ago, and I think it was shaving.
Yeah, right. And I'm Sean Penn.
So I would say the top Willy of this episode, which is the best Max Wright / Willy Tanner moment, I would say, is the bit at the start where he's talking about Lynn's new boyfriend, Lash, which seems like it should be a parody of Slash.
Yeah, just
like it's 86.
Is that 80, that 80s slang that I don't know? Lash? I don't know.
I don't know. I say Guns N' Roses were around in 1986, but they weren't that sort of like a year later even. Mm. There would have been more sort of like a throwaway reference point.
I mean, you kind of know what Lash would be like.
Oh, yeah.
From just the name. But
it'd be called, like, Scrot over... Ball bag or something, I don't know.
Ball bag, yes. You can imagine Alf seeing him come in the room, pointing at him, going, hey, ball bag!
Yeah, exactly. And everyone goes, shh! it's going to happen eventually.
Yeah.
I don't know. What was your top Willy?
It was a very quick one. When Alf spoke for the first time, Willy did this fantastic double take. And I'm a big sucker for a double take. And it was extremely good. And in an episode that was devoid of Top Willy moments, really, because it's all still finding its feet, I enjoyed that a great deal.
So, but would you say it was your MVP?
I agree with Trevor Rockmonarch.
So there you go.
I mean, British sitcoms at the time, there's a lot of anarchy going on. With the young ones or what have you, and the Filthy Rich and Cat Flap and so forth. Mm. And I can't remember any particularly anarchic American sitcoms at that time, and Alf seemed to be quite unusual, and he stood out by being just this force of nurture rather than the generic family ties kind of sitcoms that we were used to seeing imported over here. Yeah. When did Sledgehammer start? Sledgehammer was a similar...
86, I think. It's hard to tell because, again, another thing was on... regionally, and over here, well, in my Yorkshire region, it was on at like 1 a.m, so there was nowhere.
I had to tape it overnight to see Sledgehammer.
That is another fantastic series.
No, brilliant. Another thing I got on a box set of DVD and watched, not during the lockdown, it was before the lockdown, but the point is, it still held up.
I mean, you could have lied and just said it was. No one would come round. There was no Sledgehammer inspectors coming round.
Fix it in the edit.
I refuse. This is all right. I'm not editing anything.
This is live, legend. That's it. Alf. I'm trying to detach myself from the nostalgia of watching Alf when I was a kid, because that anarchy appealed a great deal as a kid watching it.
Yeah.
And then watching it as an adult, a part of it was watching it with nostalgia, and part of it was genuinely finding it extremely funny. Alf's antics. Just antics Alf, and shenanigans are funny.
Yeah. It's like the rest of it is almost like deliberately lame.
Mm.
I don't think it is. I think it's just the fact that the rest of it isn't funny.
I don't know. It genuinely feels like they set out to make the blandest sitcom possible so that Alf would stand out even more. If it was the young ones with Alf in the middle of it...
Yeah, you'd be like, yeah.
Roland Rat sort of breaking into TVAM on his little roof in the attic or whatever. You had Nick Owen and Ann Diamond, the straight-laced Willie Tanners of broadcasting, and then Roland Rat would come in and be anarchic, and it would be fighting against that, and it worked beautifully. And all of a sudden, he's got his own Stoke Aitken Waterman theme tune, and he's on primetime BBC, and it's not the same.
No, and I think that's it. But hopefully, you know, who knows? As we get through this series, maybe you know, Alf will rise like an Alf Phoenix. I'm trying to put Alf in it most phrases.
There's not always a joke. There's not always a joke.
I mean, certainly with both this program and Alf, we will definitely be testing that theory. Please do listen to more of these, right?
Yeah,
do the subscribing and tell people and stuff. This is basically an excuse to me and him to have a bit of a chat every week, and there will be some Alf content in there as well.
So, how's the family, Ben?
Not enough Alf. Not enough Alf in them. That's a problem. It'd be great if there was an Alf. Until next time.
Yes.
I have been Alf-splaining Ben Baker.
And I have been Alf-rospectiving John Matthews.
I've been Alf Roberts.
I've been the National Alf Service.
Oh, why ain't that a thing? You've ruined me now. I'm off for a cry. Bye.
Bye.
Or as you might say, Melmac. Bye.
Bye.
Probably.
Another one you won't like.